And let's turn once again to the book of Acts, please. The book of Acts in the chapter 1. The book of Acts, the chapter 1. And we're going to take the time this evening once again to read the opening 12 verses of chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While he looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Amen. And the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word. These verses this evening, from the verse 4 down to the end of verse 8, brings us to the Mount of Olivet. 40 days have now passed since the Lord Jesus has been risen, or has been raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit. During those 40 days he had appeared to many hundreds of people. He had once again displayed that he was the God over all creation. He was the Lord who had the power and the authority over all creation. We see that in John 21, verse 6. How the disciples were there and they're out fishing, but yet when the Lord came and the Lord spoke, then the fish were right there. He gathered them to that place ready to be caught. We've seen how he had displayed his infinite wisdom, his infinite grace, even to the disciples in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus. Those two, as they left and as they made that journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're trudging along that road, despondent and downcast, but yet it was the Lord who drew near. And the Lord came in the midst of them. He began right from Moses, the books of Moses, brought them right through Scripture of how Christ had to die, how Christ would die, and how Christ would rise from the dead. He had encouraged and built up those who were downhearted in those 40 days. John 21, verses 15 to 19, there was the Lord Jesus Christ drawn alongside Peter. Peter, the one who had denied him. Peter, the one who had said, Lord, everyone else can deny, everyone else can flee. Lord, I'll die for you. And yet Peter, when it came to that point there, in the courtyard outside of Caiaphas' house, he stood and warmed his hands at the fire, but yet it was Peter who denied him 3 times. But yet the Lord had drawn alongside in John 21, Simon, lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. There's one in passing. You want to feed the sheep, you have to feed the lambs first. You want to work for the Lord, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, you start with the lambs. In other words, you start with the children. says feed my lambs first before he ever says feed my sheep. There was Peter, and the Lord had encouraged him. The Lord had built him up. The Lord had brought him, as it were, back and showed him, Peter, I have a work for you to do. Well, yes, you failed me. But Peter, I have a work for you to do. But now we come to mind all of it. The time has come for Christ to ascend up into glory. The time has come for the disciples, for their ministries really to begin. In earnest, as the New Testament church would kick off, as it were. That time was coming for those disciples really to take that stand without the physical presence of the Lord right there with them. Now would the time had come, the disciples would have to stand up and preach. The mantle of preaching and performing miracles in those days was being passed on. Christ had taught them for 3 years, both with his words, and indeed, as we mentioned last week, through his life. He did before he ever taught. They had all of that example, they had all of that teaching, and even through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, he had given the message to preach. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In other words, disciples, as I now leave you and go from you, the exhortation was left, and here's the message, take it to each and every one. Tell them Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Tell them he lived a perfect life. Tell them he went to the cross and he laid down his life. But tell them, yes, he died, but he rose again. They had seen with their eyes, they had heard with their ears, and they had handled the Lord. Isn't that what John says in 1 John 1, verse 1? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. Remember, after Christ was risen from the dead and he said to his disciples, he said, handle me. In other words, actually touch my body, touch my hands, touch my chest, touch my shoulders. I'm not a ghost. The physical body of Christ was back. Yes, the nail prints were there in his hands and in his feet. The hole there was in his side from the spear, but it was the actual body of Christ risen from the dead. See, these men, the disciples, were the primary witnesses of Christ. These were the men who had been there from the very beginning. These were the men who now had that important task and had the authority to say, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ every step of his life. I witnessed and I saw him as he ministered. These were the men to share with others the glorious news that Christ Jesus was alive. Just before the Lord ascends up to heaven, he has some final words for his disciples. I want to look at them this evening with you. Notice with me firstly in verse number 4, patience is required. Patience is required. Verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Lord Jesus, in his final words, he highlights to them the necessity for patience. He tells them so clearly right there in those words that are in front of us, wait for the promise. Wait in the Lord. Oh yes, they had the message. They had the glorious news to tell. They had an audience there in Jerusalem to tell it to. Thousands of people gathered together in that city, and even those others that were gathering in for the day of Pentecost, for those Jewish feasts, they're all there in front of them. But no, Christ says, first of all, wait. Wait. The Lord clearly tells them it has to be in God's time, in God's way. You notice that he tells them to stay in Jerusalem. See, this was a test of their obedience as well as their patience. As we highlighted to you earlier, you remember that occasion just after the Lord had ascended there on that Sunday. And what happened? Two left. The news came from the ladies, and Peter and John, they went to the tomb, they came back, and they said, yes, the tomb is empty, Christ is gone. He's risen, but what did two do? They left. Started heading to Emmaus. Christ had to go after them, encourage them and bring them back. Remember the group he's talking to here? Included Peter, not one who was a spur of the moment kind of guy. He jumped in with both feet before the brain actually engaged. He was one who was just so ready to go always. I'll do what I have to do straight away, no problem. The Lord's saying, no, wait. You know, sometimes we can be filled with zeal to the point where we're not prepared to be patient. Sometimes we can have that such a desire in our hearts and we're saying, oh, I just want to do something and I want to do it now and I want to really get going. But yet we're not really ready just to wait, to be patient. See, child of God, patience in the Lord's work is not neglectfulness. It's a necessity. Patience in the Lord's work is not neglectfulness. It is a necessity. Waiting on the Lord, it's never wasted time. Never. And this last week, even as we have came aside to wait upon the Lord, we've had that desire even at the outset of this year with everything that's planned and with all of the different meetings that are planned for this year. But yet that desire, we must first wait in the Lord. We must come aside. We must be patient. Do you remember Nehemiah's day? Nehemiah chapter 1. That word comes to Nehemiah there, Shushan the palace. The man comes back from Jerusalem, and Nehemiah, as it were, he calls him to the side and he says, tell me, how's it going down there? How are things in Jerusalem? And he receives that word, the gates are burned with fire, the walls are broken down, the place is an absolute mess. What did Nehemiah do? He went aside for 4 months. And he prayed and he wept and he prayed and he wept for 4 months. He could have went straight into the king as he did in Nehemiah 2. He could have went straight to the king, and there at that time he could have said, King, please, can I go to my people? Can I go and help them? But no, he went aside for 4 months and he prayed and he prayed. There must be a waiting in the Lord before there can be a working for the Lord. We in this church, do we know what it is to wait upon the Lord? Oh, I rejoiced this last week, and I thank, as I did this morning, I thank you sincerely for the attendance. But child of God, there must be that desire in our hearts. We wait upon the Lord and we look to Him. Psalm 27, the verse 14, wait in the Lord, be of good courage, He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. Psalm 37, the verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Isaiah 40, the verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you ever considered an eagle? We don't have eagles in this country. Have you ever watched on TV an eagle? Massive big wingspan. And how high they are up in the sky. Then you think of the little birds that are flying down low and they're flapping like crazy, trying to just keep up off the ground, as it were, but the eagle, it's just soaring. It's effortless. It's up there and it's just, it sees everything and it's over everything. And the eagle, it's just, as it were, content. Comfortable. What's the scripture saying? If we wait upon the Lord, our strength will be renewed. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. the longer and the more that we wait upon the Lord in prayer, and the more time that we spend in the place of prayer, the easier that the work will be out there. We know what it is to give ourselves to prayer, and then we seek to do a work for the Lord in the community, whether it be in a children's setting or whether it be in the one-to-one, whatever it is, or speaking to someone at work. But you've had that time and waiting on the Lord, and you'll find it so much easier out there. Because you've waited on the Lord. And yes, patience and waiting sometimes is the hardest things to do. Children, it's always hard to be patient. You tell a child to sit and be patient and to wait and to wait and to wait. It's the same for the adult. I'm sure, just like me, you're longing for the blessing of God upon this area. You're longing to see souls saved in this area, and you're longing to see the pews filled, and you're longing to see the work going forward, and you're longing to see your loved ones reached and won for Jesus Christ, and you'd long just to get out. But first of all, there must be a waiting in that room. There must be a crying unto the Lord continuously. And then we'll see the work prosper out there. The patience is required. Notice with me, secondly, the promises which are received. In verses 4, 5, and 8, look at the end of verse 4. It says, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then the verse 8, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me." The Lord provides the reason for waiting. It wasn't that they were waiting for the message they had, but rather they were waiting for the power. They were waiting for the Lord. Christ had promised his disciples, remember this, John 14:16, he had promised them there would come power from on high. The Holy Spirit was promised even during Christ's ministry. This was not something new after Christ rose from the dead. John 14:16, "I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." John 15:26, "But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." John 16:13, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Here, even just before the Lord ascends to glory, he reinforces that truth once again. You're not on your own. And yes, you have the message to preach, and you have the message of Jesus Christ, but you're not going to be left on your own to try and put the words together yourself. You're not going to be left on your own to try and open up doors, as it were, of service, to try and open up avenues of conversation with men and women. No, you'll receive the power from the Lord, the power of the Spirit. Verse 5, he uses the baptism of John to assure them that the Spirit would come. Remember, these were men who had witnessed John the Baptist baptizing. Some of these disciples were actually, in the first place, the disciples of John the Baptist. Some of these men actually were there and seen the Lord Jesus Christ as he came along, and he went down into the waters of baptism, and he came up out of the waters of baptism. These were men who followed. These were men who understood. These were men who remembered John the Baptist's ministry. And here the Lord is emphasizing to them, and he's saying, just as that was a reality, just as it was a literal occurrence that John the Baptist baptized, so it would be a reality that the Holy Spirit would come. The Holy Spirit would come in power. Verse 8, as we said last week, it is the key verse for the entire book of Acts. For from that verse we trace every single act of the apostles. From it we can see that these men were only used after the Holy Ghost had come upon them. Brothers and sisters, it's no different today. Whether we be preaching, teaching Sunday school, teaching in the children's meetings. Whether we be witnessing in a one-to-one basis, we need the help of the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit. We need that utterance from on high. See, remember, child of God, it is the Spirit who gives the liberty. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It is the Spirit who gives boldness. Acts 4, verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. It is the Spirit who gives wisdom. Exodus 31, verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's why the Spirit's a necessity. Because he has the power. He gives the power. He gives the liberty. He gives the boldness. He gives the wisdom and the understanding. These disciples were beginning their ministry. For 3 years they had the physical presence. Every time anyone came against them, it was the Lord who spoke. Anyone came and questioned them, the Lord was able to defeat them by the knowledge and even the wisdom that they had in words. But here was these men and they were starting out, but yet the Lord promised, no, I'll give you one who's equal. I give you one who's equal with myself. See, the Holy Spirit's not second best. We look at him in the Trinity and we say it's God the Father, it's God the Son, it's God the Holy Spirit, as if he's third. But they're equal. 1 John 5 and verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Just as the children, they learn it. In the shorter catechism, they're equal in substance, equal in power and glory. It wasn't second best the disciples were getting. It was the very best. They were getting the Spirit. He is the one that we need today. He is the one that we claim today. He is the one that we need the help of each and every day of our lives. And that ought to be the prayer in our lives each and every day, that as we get up in the morning, we pray for the fresh cleansing of the Lord and we pray for the fresh infilling of the Spirit. That as we go about our business and whatever it is and wherever we go, that people see that we have the Lord upon us. That people see that we have the power of God upon us, that they see that we are different because of the one who is in us, the one who infills us. The promise that is received. Notice with me, thirdly and finally, the progress that would be realized. In verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Lord had just given them the promise of the Spirit. He'd given them the plan for service. They were to be witnesses. They were to tell men and women all about Jesus Christ. And now he gave them the path to success. Start in Jerusalem. Preach there. Then go from Jerusalem and go to Judea. Preach there. Then go from Judea and go on to Samaria and preach there, and then spread the message right around the Roman Empire and right across the world. Tell men and women. Tell them all about me. You know, when we're involved in the work of the Lord, then we must follow the will of the Lord. We must follow the way of the Lord. Then the Lord, by His Spirit, will bring the progress. You ever consider that in the Great Commission of Matthew 28? verses 19 and 20. Christ said there, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Do you realize even in the middle of that, or in the midst of that great commission, it's a command to go. But yet there's a promise of success. Because it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." There's a promise of success. Because he's telling those men, as they're about to go out into the ministries, he's telling them, "You will need to baptize. Go and tell them about me, but you then will need to baptize." In other words, souls will be saved. Baptism services will have to take place. Men and women and young people will come to saving faith in the Lord. And those two great sacraments which I have left, the Lord's Supper and the baptism sacrament, those will have to be implemented. Why? Because souls are saved. Acts 2 and verse 47. I highlighted it to you last week. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's the fulfillment of the Lord's promise. There will be progress in the work of the Lord. And as we look out in the land today, even as we look in our personal situation here in Northern Ireland, these words of Christ are still applicable to us. We have to be patient. We have to have that time of waiting on the Lord. We have to have that power. And each and every time that we seek to serve the Lord, that we are claiming that power. And we're not doing it in our own might or in our own wisdom or in our own strength. We're doing it in the power of the Lord. The Lord promises there will be progress. Souls will be saved in our land. No doubt about that. The lost of this world and of this land will be reached. There's no doubt about that. No doubt at all. And even up and down our land today, even in the depths of the darkness that we find ourselves in, yet the ungodly, the unsaved, have been in under the sound of God's word. I trust and pray souls have been saved. Backsliders have been restored. And the work of Jesus Christ has gone forward. You know, those promises given to the apostles are still relevant today. That spirit which they had to wait on, even as we sang about it, he still abides. Hallelujah, he still abides. And he will abide until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. He's ever in this world, ever working, ever fulfilling the will of the Father. Progress is being made. Christ is building his church, brick by brick. Soul by soul. Doesn't matter what the gates of hell do, they can't stop it. Those final words, the Lord Jesus there in the Mount Olivet, well, I'm sure they brought great encouragement to the disciples. You imagine standing there in the Mount Olivet that day. The Lord standing there with them, and he tells them and he encourages them, he gives them that word. You imagine how deeply that burned in their hearts. He's told us to wait in him. He's told us there will be power. He's told us there will be progress. Can you imagine the joy? Imagine that desire even there in their hearts, their longing and they're waiting on the Lord. And we'll go on to see over next week or the week after, even those times of prayer. Waiting on the Lord. Longing for the power to descend. Longing for the progress to be realized. Oh, brethren and sisters, even as we've done this last week, let us continue to wait on the Lord. With trust and obey, and trust and believe. But the power will come and the progress will come. For the glory of Jesus Christ.